Welcome in, everybody. You're ready to go beyond the Islam 101 stuff. We're diving deep into the Quran, specifically Surah 2 Al-Baqarah. The count. Kind of strange. But trust me, this longest chapter, it's got depth for days.
What's wild is it throws you right into the deep end, where you're
Yeah.
talking Hayb, the unseen world, angels, the divine books, and not just the Quran, but the Torah, gospel, the whole deal, day of judgment, preordinations, things beyond our everyday perception. You know what I mean?
Whoa, so before we even get to the how to live part, it's laying down the foundation of belief. Like, this is what you got to accept, even if there's no visible proof.
Exactly. And that idea of faith being central, it's not just an Islamic thing, right? It's in loads of religions, trusting in something bigger. But Surah 2 then gets real specific. We're talking the five pillars of Islam, the bedrock of being Muslim, basically.
Oh, yeah, the pillars. I know I've heard of them, but remind me, what are they again?
You got it. There's testimony of faith, one God, Allah, and Muhammad's his messenger. Prayer, that's Salat, five times daily. Charity, which is Zakat, and that one's a big deal. Then fasting during Ramadan and the pilgrimage to Mecca, the Hajj.
Wait, why is zakat such a big deal? Is it like more than just personal spirituality?
You nailed it. Zakat's seen as a major economic tool, actually, for social justice in Islam. Not just you doing good, but uplifting the whole community, like built-in wealth redistribution, fighting poverty at its root. That's zakat.
Whoa, okay, now that's putting it into perspective. But the Quran's not just singing praises for believers, right? What about the people who don't, or even worse, pretend to?
Yeah, it confronts disbelief and hypocrisy head-on. Some verses are pretty hardcore about Allah sealing the hearts and ears of those who just refuse guidance. They're blocked from accepting it.
So it's like their own choice is what's blinding them.
Totally. Free will, personal accountability, that's huge in the Quran. And it doesn't sugarcoat the consequences either. There's this powerful image, right, of people making a fire for light. Then Allah just puts it out. Darkness. That's what rejecting guidance gets you.
Man, that's vivid. But metaphors, those are kind of the Quran's thing, aren't they? Like, they use stories too to teach lessons from way back.
Absolutely. Surah 2's got some of the most important ones, like Adam, first human, first prophet in Islam. Allah teaches him the names of everything, showing his knowledge, his authority. You even have angels bowing down to him.
Oh, yeah, I remember that story. But then there's Iblis, or Satan, right? Refuses to bow down, too much pride, which then leads to Adam messing up.
Exactly. But here's something people might not know. Even after disobeying, Adam gets words of guidance from Allah, and he's forgiven. Shows that even when we screw up, divine mercy is still possible.
It's a good reminder, you know? We all make mistakes. But speaking of powerful stories, Surah 2 also gets into Musa, right? Moses. Parting the Red Sea, the Israelites building that golden calf when he's gone. Intense.
Totally. But even in those rough times, there's this little detail that always gets me. Allah provides manna and quail for them in the desert. Reinforces the idea that even when things are tough, even when people mess up, Allah still provides for his followers.
Okay, so these stories, they're not just dusty history lessons, they're about how to live today.
You got it. The stories in Surah 2, they're like moral compasses, trials, obedience, straying from the path. They're all in there. It all comes back to seeking guidance and trusting in something bigger than
It's
ourselves.
like, hey, pay attention, this stuff really happened. But Surah 2, it's not all ancient history and metaphors, right? It gets into the how to live stuff too, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It gets pretty
What?
specific, actually. Social, ethical, like one that always gets people fired up is jihad. But the thing is, how the Quran talks about fighting. It's complex. Self-defense, fighting oppression, that's allowed, but there's always conditions. In fact, the idea of fitna, disbelief, discord, that kind of thing, that's considered worse than killing, just so you know.
So not just going to war whenever you feel like it.
Nope. It's about justice, upholding what's right, but always with limits. And they even say straight up, some places are off limits. Sacred months, no fighting. Masjid al-Haram, that sanctuary in Mecca, forbidden unless someone attacks you first.
Rules on top of the rules, huh?
Right.
Good.
And even then, it's
Yeah.
like violence is the last resort, not the first thing you jump to. Plus, don't forget, they talk about greater jihad too, that inner struggle, battling your own bad impulses. We all got that going on, right?
Man, that's deep. Okay, but besides war, what about everyday stuff? Money, for example, the Quran have anything to say about that?
Oh, yeah, big time. Riba, for one. Basically, usury. charging crazy interest on loans, that's a no-go. And they don't beat around the bush either. It's like being driven insane by Shaitan himself. That's how they describe it.
Intense much. They really wanted people to get the message, huh?
No kidding.
Yeah.
But here's what's interesting. It's not just about prohibiting bad stuff, but promoting the opposite. So like RIBA is out. Sadaka, charity, is huge EE. Not just, oh, be generous. It's like the antidote. Allah destroys RIBA. But multiply sadaka. It's spiritual economics.
Okay, but I mean, everyone says charity's good. Anything more to it or?
Well, there's this parable,
Yeah.
right? Really got to me. It's about those folks who give charity to show off, want the praise, not pleasing Allah, their charity. It's like this smooth rock, a little bit of dust on it. Then rain comes, washes it away, nothing left.
Ouch. So much for impressing people, eh?
Right. Intentions matter. That's the point. You do things for the right reasons. Allah's pleasure, not getting applause. It's easy to want that validation, but check yourself. Yeah.
Real talk. Okay. So war, money, charity, what else? Relationships, maybe.
Of course, marriage, divorce, Surah 2 gets into it. Like, there's rules about the waiting period for a woman after divorce before she remarries.
Yeah.
And the husband, he's got to provide for her during that time.
So even ending a relationship, it's about being fair, responsible.
Exactly. Treating women right, even when things are tough, that's important. Upholding their rights, making sure they're okay, even if the marriage is over.
That's really interesting, actually. Even at the hard stuff, there's this thread of doing what's right, what's just.
Yeah, and it all connects back to what we see throughout Surah 2. Allah knows everything, seen, unseen, it's all Him.
It's kind of blowing me away, you know, like one chapter, Surah 2, but it's got everything in it. Big questions about believing, then bam, how to live, down to the details. It's a LOT.
No kidding, right?
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so interesting. It's not just some old text, it's like a guidebook, how
Yeah.
to live in line with what Islam teaches. And like you said, that covers everything.
Right. It's like it's saying, okay, this is what you believe, so here's how you live because of it. No vague stuff either. It gets real specific. But through it all, that thing you said before about Allah knowing everything, seen and unseen, that stuck with me.
Yeah, Kaib. It's like the foundation under everything in Surah 2, you
Yeah.
know. And it brings up a big question. If Allah sees it all, even what we do in secret, what does that mean for us? How should we act?
Whoa, yeah, that's huge. It's one thing to like say you believe in God, but sort of too saying it better change how you act, even when nobody's watching.
Totally. Your actions matter, not just here and now, but in the afterlife too. Living right, having integrity, because we're all accountable for every choice we make.
Okay, that's heavy stuff. So before we wrap this up, what's like the one big thing you want to leave our listeners with? The heart of Suda 2.
You know, if I had to pick just one, it's that idea we keep coming back to, the knowledge of the unseen, the ghaib. It tells us our actions have weight. We're not just floating through life randomly. Our choices, our intentions, they shape our destiny. This life, the next, it's all connected.
So it's not about following rules blindly. It's about really getting it, you know, letting these
Yeah.
principles sink in and guide you every day.
Exactly. Knowing Allah is present in everything and trying to live a life that shows we understand that.
This deep dive has been quite the journey. We explored the core of Islamic faith, those powerful stories, and the guidelines that still impact millions today.
And for you listening, this is just the start. Keep exploring the Quran, Islamic teachings. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Seek out different views. That's the beauty of these texts. They make you think, they help you grow, no matter where you are on your own path.